This is CliffCentral.com.
Pumi has just made my morning. She just told me that the temperatures this week are all in the 30s.
Yes.
I like it a lot.
No, Gareth, no.
Yes. It's very good. I love it. I love summer. I love spring. I said yesterday, I savor the days at this time of year. September and October are so beautiful with everything in its most perfect form.
You just have to survive Joburg's hay fever.
Yeah, exactly. If you can get over that, which is what I'm struggling with this morning for some bizarre reason. Nasal congestion.
After that,
you're good.
It's on.
Oh. Uh-huh. Well, good morning. It is a Tuesday on CliffCentral.com, which means a bunch of things. It means there's a lot going on, including our How's It China, which we do.
How's It China?
Second episode of that a little bit later on. And loads of other things that people are all interested in talking about. We've got Pumi here, we've got Gugu here, we've got Sia here, and you've got me here. So I hope that's a good enough reason for you to join us and for us to try and make your day that much better at the start.
What else do people want? We're here.
Well, exactly. We're trying to improve their world. So we had a message from Celeste, who was going to do her driver's license at the ripe old age of 49.
Oh, okay.
All right. Do you want to hear the results?
Wait. Okay.
Oh.
I've crossed all fingers and thumbs.
All right. So here it is, Celeste. The results are in.
And.
Oh, no.
I don't know where this music is going.
Yeah.
Celeste says, well, I failed.
Oh, you know what?
It was very strange. Listen to this story. Mm-hmm. She says, first, he calls me to his office and asks me how I'm doing in Afrikaans. He says, es net a bikkie warm. Die regte dag vir 'n koeldrank.
What did I tell her yesterday?
You did, actually. I'll give you credit. You did say, take a cool drink.
Yeah.
I obviously didn't take the hint if that was what it was. Oh, then he told me to wait in the yard. First thing is the inspection, then the three-point turn. He didn't let me finish the last point. Didn't want me to handbrake, neutral, turn off, indicator, straighten the wheels, etc., and instructed me to proceed to the incline. It's the conflict in my mind of whether to just listen to him and fail because I didn't finish the first maneuver, or not listen to him and finish the maneuver and fail for disobeying a traffic officer. I did stall, but I feel I would have failed anyway because by the end I had 2 penalty points. Poor Celeste.
Oh, man.
At least now she knows what to do next time.
Yeah, you get the failure out of your system.
Which is why to bring the cool drink.
It's hot.
Well, Google did say you got to bribe these people. Some of the lowest scum on planet Earth are traffic officers. And you have to bribe them because that's the only stuff they ever get from anyone. They don't get Christmas presents. Their family don't buy them birthday presents because they hate them because they're traffic officers.
Imagine that.
So, I'm so devastated for Celeste.
Right. It's the worst feeling, huh?
Well,
it takes the wind out of
your sails. Oh, wait, did you just pass your driver's license? Didn't take you
first time.
Yes.
Show off. You absolutely
did you pass
show
first time?
Off.
No, I didn't.
Neither
so
did I.
I've been driving for a while since I was like 9 years old, and I vowed never to pay for it. Yeah.
What do you mean when you were 9 years old?
My father started teaching me how to drive at 9.
Okay, that's quite cool.
So by the time I got of age, I said I'd never pay for this thing, even though I'd heard that people pay for it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I did it the first time. They failed me. They took me around the course 3 times. 3. Third time around, he catches me on speed. He says, what speed are you doing there, son? I say, well, 70. He says, okay. Second time, I book the thing. As I'm doing my driving lessons, the instructor says to me, do you have the money? I say, what money?
He flat out asks you that.
Yeah.
I thought it was a little sly.
No. This is the lessons.
The fee.
Oh. Yeah. So my instructor says, do you have the money? I say, I don't have the money. He says, well, you're not going to pass. I forfeited that booking. Third time, I knew what to do.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you see, you have to learn.
Yeah,
see,
you gotta learn the hard way.
Maybe I got my license in the good old days.
Yeah, you got it when things were still good, Pumi.
when no one was stressing you out.
Or maybe you were just better at it.
No ways. There's no such thing as no one was stressing you out. The one thing that I when I was in first year of film school, like that January, that's when I was going for the license, the learners and all of those things, right?
All excited.
Ooh-wee. Excited, Goopy. When you get there, like as you get in that car, just your armpits are sweaty.
Oh, you're nervous as hell.
Sneakers, everything. Like it's just that heat that over. Yeah. And then in January too, it was.
Oh no,
it was excruciating.
Boiling.
Gareth,
let's go.
How many times did it take you?
No, I think I failed once and I got it the next time.
How about you?
Well, did you pay someone, Gareth?
No,
we have one.
See, I don't blame my first time on myself.
The first time
I failed, even though it was mortifying. I went to driving school in an old skedonk. Like that car was older than me, but I knew how to, you know, maneuver it around. And that's what I practiced in for the longest time. The day of the actual test, I take it to the yard and we were ready and I'd filled in all the forms and I was there on time. I get onto the actual grounds and the car like had a mechanical failure. Oh. No, like the gears.
So it wasn't your fault.
You know, I don't think it was.
Right.
But this is where the embarrassment comes in. When the gears fail, you can't exactly move a manual car when the gearbox has failed. I not only had to deal with the fact that they said, okay, listen, clearly you can't take the test, so you've failed straight up. But then I had to push the car off the grounds.
You had to push it.
I had to push.
That's humiliating.
And then I had to like call my driving instructor like, hey, can you help me here?
Did he give you a refund?
No. And I know, like, we fought it until I was blue in the face and I was done and tired. But imagine that. I was like, what, 19 at the time. And I was like close to tears and I was pushing this car off the ground. And then the second time, finally, I remember I was already working with you, Gareth. So we were at 5 a.m. and you said like, oh yeah, I just know that we'll talk about this on air. So I'm like, okay, no failing here now.
So the pressure helped.
The pressure
did
help.
Yeah.
But that's why I have an automatic driver's license. I was like, I'm not taking
the
chance.
What do you mean you have an automatic driver's license?
What, you bastard?
Yeah. Legally, I can't drive a manual car.
And yet you
do. Is this an option that they give people?
Is it an auto?
Yeah. I don't drive a manual car.
Wow.
But these days, I mean, listen. A lot of cars, you don't even get the manual version.
Yeah, the new cars, a lot of them are auto.
So actually, that was quite insightful, I thought.
It was so easy. Try doing the clutch control test in an automatic car. It's like a breeze.
Yeah.
There's no sweating.
But there are people who have those very complicated licenses, like the ones where you can drive articulated vehicles and trailers and buses and trucks. And those are
what,
complicated.
You have my dad's license because... You know, he also got his license in the bad old days. He actually got his license so that he could get a job.
Yeah.
And so he has a license for an 18-wheeler truck.
Code 14.
What? Code 14. Is that what they call it? Yeah.
Code 14. Some people reckon that's easier, and I don't know how that is.
Can't be easy. I don't think it's easy.
Yeah, you don't play around with that.
You've got tons and tons behind you, like kill
scary.
People.
Yeah, because
that's scary. Like
in those days, that's what you needed.
Like I said the other day, if you drive a truck, a bus, a taxi, you have to be more responsible than the average driver. It should be harder to get your license and it should be harder to maintain your license. Mm. Like you should be tested regularly because there are many more lives that you're responsible for.
So Celeste, askis.
Yeah, we're very sorry, Celeste, but don't beat yourself up.
Do it again.
Exactly.
Save money this time.
I know someone who failed it 5 times. She got it on the 6th try.
Jeez. 5 times.
Mm.
Talk about
on the basis of.
I would have lost the patience at some point there.
5 times. She kept going back. She's got her license now.
Well, Dip says, my driving instructor was a family friend, so he asked the examiner, please just forget about the cold drink for today. This is my boy.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, code 10.
This is South Africa.
Code 10 is apparently the easier license that people do. Is
yeah, a lot of people do that, eh? A lot of people go for code 10.
Something about parallel parking.
Right.
What do they leave out of the code 10?
It's the parking, a lot of the parking you don't do.
The parallel, you still have to do, you know, you just don't have to do that parallel one. Because presumably you're driving a much bigger car that doesn't...
So I think...
What are you... Have you...
I'm so confused. I don't even remember what code I did.
What parallel parking is.
No, parallel parking is.
I've got a code 8.
Was the pits.
Yeah.
All right, here's an interesting point. You guys should try to get a motorcycle license. I had this lady with a hectic accent. She had an Afrikaans brei mixed with Xhosa, and she had an attitude like a general. I just nodded at the gesture and interpreted what she needed. Luckily, I remembered. Sure. Yeah, and apparently you cannot get, that's from Craig, you cannot get an appointment for a bike license at the moment. They're just full up.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. Jeez. That's what I hear. Code 10 is easier because they don't do parallel parking. You can just see code 10 drivers. I'm sorry, but they are useless.
I agree.
That's what Gavin says.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of these people are just not able to maneuver their vehicles.
Yeah, so they learn how to drive and get a license on a freaking truck, and then they go buy a small car.
Yeah.
Then they don't know what to do with the thing.
I almost mentioned a brand name.
Uh-huh.
Of the small cars that irritate me tremendously on the road.
Which ones?
Whose drivers? Well, it shall remain nameless, but
why?
In the fast lane.
Oh, I know.
That car has got no power, and they're just in that fast lane, and you see their shoulders. They're so tense. Their shoulders are hunched up. She's like holding onto that steering wheel for dear life. Why
are there so many people who drive in the fast lane when they have no power in their car, and they just are completely, either they're oblivious of what's going on behind them because the car's starting to pile up, or they don't care. And either is a bad excuse for you to be.
What
on the
is
road.
It? All our definitions of fast are different.
No.
The rule says keep left, pass right. So what people do in South Africa, which pisses me off, is that they stay in the fast lane and just stay there. No, the fast lane is for you to pass. Once you've passed whatever car you passed, go left and stay there.
Thank you.
Jeez.
It's not hard.
I don't know what to say. I'm not making excuses for anyone. I did easily drive like that, though, the first month of getting my license. Up until, because I really didn't know. Like, I took my learner's license when I was 16. Yeah, I think as soon as you're legally able to, that's when I did my learner's license. Mm. I forgot all of that K53 stuff, and I was so happy just to have freedom on the roads. And I was stopped by the Metro Police. They're like, what are you doing? I thought, what? Here's my license. I don't know what
Look at
you guys
my
are
license,
talking
I got
about.
It the second
They're
try.
Like, no, you can't be driving 60 in this lane. I'm like, okay. Whoopsie.
Listen to this. Do you remember when Pumi was here last week and she told us about the clearing?
Yes.
That podcast series.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Please don't tell me you found another example.
Listen to this. This is from Dando. Dando says, Sis Pumi, I finished watching the clearing. It took me a minute, but I finished it. I've been looking at the parallels between Edward and my father.
No.
Listen. My father had a funeral service in Umlazi. Unlike April, I think I was 12 when I first saw a dead body. It was a female. She was looking up, hands up, eyes open, tongue out. Anyway, Edward was killing these people. Most of the killing had meaningless motives. I feel for April. She's haunted by her father's crazy past. She claims she did not love her father, but it took 30 years to hand him over to the police. She's talking nonsense. My father, on the other hand, was storing dead bodies in the fridge.
Oh, gosh.
Listen to this.
Oh,
and then Dando goes and attaches two articles. Don't ask me why. All I know is this brought them, him and the family, money. When my grandfather died, everything followed him. I relate to April a lot as she gets sick by just thinking about this and looking at the impact her father had. Edward left an autograph and said, this will be more valuable in years to come. What kind of a sick person does that to their daughter? I, on the other hand, was left with nothing. Sad to say, everyone on my father's side has died. I am fine. Speaking of dead things, Gareth killed Wumandla.
What?
I love you guys. That was the show.
What?
Wumandla
was Pumi's show.
Oh, okay.
She started off here. So, what do you say to that?
Whoa.
Yeah.
She needs to go for counseling or something.
Daniel. Yeah. Girl.
I wonder, Sundando, I have so many questions.
Put them out there.
I have so many questions.
This is amazing. So there are two articles. One is from the IOL and one is from Mail and Guardian.
Dando, I will do a podcast with you.
Yeah.
I will do a podcast with you.
And then when did you realize this? So when did you put the pattern together? Was it literally last week when you mentioned the clearing, or is it something you've always known? I hope it's not last year, because this is a lot to take in.
It's a huge amount to take in. Scary, huh?
So
you find out your father has been killing people.
Yes.
Storing people in the fridge, calling it meat.
You know, there was no mention of
calling it meat.
Well, I just added that.
So, on the way to the studio, I was having this conversation. There's an article in Isolezwe. Isolezwe is an African language. They also have a Xhosa version. Mm-hmm. And there's a story yesterday about a traditional healer. Those of you who can't see me, I'm doing air quotes.
Very big air quotes.
Who is fearing for his life in Cape Town, in Khayelitsha, I think. Because people are saying, there was another girl, after Uyinene, there was another girl who was also found raped and killed.
Oh, no.
And people are saying that he is the reason that this is happening, because he is sending people to harvest bodies, to harvest And I had this conversation about the fact that in this country, these conversations are never had. Because this is a thing here. There was that guy in Bloemfontein. They found him with like women's vaginas in the freezer. No.
Yes, I remember that guy in Bloemfontein. And he was from like Denmark.
Oh, I'm actually getting cold thinking about all of this.
We have these things here in this country, but we don't talk about them.
Sure. Hectic.
And then it's under the guise of traditional medicine. It has to happen. For blessings.
And you see what Ntando is alluding to in this email is that what's the English word? So yoktwala. I don't know what the English word is, but there are many stories like this in the townships, about families who have lots of money, and the fact that they have this money because they performed some kind of dark rituals. And that's why, as Ntando says, when the dad died, everything that they had went with him, because if he had performed this ritual, everything would be linked to him. So if he's no more, none of those things can. But like when the massacre in Marikana happened, when the commission was had, do you remember the number of people who testified about the fact that they'd had rituals done?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the rituals were so that they would be invincible and impenetrable to like.
And look at what happened.
Nobody talks about this stuff.
Nobody talks. I would do that podcast, y'all.
Witchcraft.
I need to go home. Witchcraft. I need to clear some sage. I need to.
Yeah, witchcraft. Witchcraft.
Burn some sage.
I just need to hold on to some holy.
I'll tell you, there's so much craziness that people get up to. Huge amounts of craziness that people get up to in order to purify, cleanse, make themselves invincible, get ahead, all that kind of stuff.
I'd far rather live in my oblivion, hey? I don't say I do believe. I don't say I don't believe. I just don't want to know. Let me sit in my oblivion.
Do you guys like stab?
What?
Shaba.
What?
Like, do you like traditional stuff?
Personally,
What is Hlaba? I know what the word means.
Slaughter.
Well, isn't ritual slaughtering. Traditional,
but ritual slaughtering, just slaughtering, because you can slaughter to have like a party.
Sia would scream.
Sia, you guys don't do that?
So our family has never, and there was actually once when my elder sister was turning 21. She actually went to my parents and said, I feel like we've never done anything and I need to feel like I'm a proud Zulu woman.
She wanted umemulo.
Yeah, she wanted a whole big shebang. And so my dad was like, you know what? Yeah, we can try something out, which includes slaughtering something. But this is us who...
That's Sia's reaction.
And I didn't know what was about to happen. But, you know, my dad also being this very kind and sensitive soul who wants to be accommodating to everyone, ended up telling the municipality that, hi, we want to slaughter an animal here in the neighborhood. And the entire neighborhood association was like, nope, not happening here. So they did this whole petition. Like, Sarah next door wasn't going to have anything slaughtered. So we ended up not doing that. No. So
I had a thing with the homeowners association.
Yeah.
They were like, slaughtering. I was like,
yeah, because they were like,
slaughtering what? Y'all can tell me. I was just like, you can't have rules in this estate that are contra the rules of the country.
What you say, what happens in your yard happens in your yard.
Who the hell do they think they are? If I want to slaughter and I've got all the, they don't have to be there.
Ooh.
They don't have to look. They don't, like, you can't have your own set of rules that.
Animal abuse.
Yeah, close your eyes, close your ears, damn it.
Humans have been doing this. Let's just be clear. Humans have been doing this stuff for thousands of years.
How do they think their meat how do you get the meat on your plate? It was slaughtered just because you agree with that type of slaughter.
Yeah.
Sarah's father goes and shoots and kills an animal to put its head on the wall.
Poor Sarah, by the way. She's getting a lot of heat this morning.
I do love our neighbor, though.
Oh, Sarah.
We swapped Christmas baskets with fruits and nuts. We love her.
Dunder's made my day.
Yeah, that's intense. Okay, excuse me, done.
All right, we've got How's It China coming up, episode 2, a little bit later on this morning. We've also got episode 2 of Blind History today, which I know a lot of people are excited about. Vlad the Impaler. Have you heard about this guy?
Oh, no.
Yes, you have.
You need Vlad? To hear.
The Impaler? What did he use to impale?
People.
No, what did he use?
He used stakes.
Vlad.
A large stake that he would put the people on and impale them.
Oh, no.
And you will be horrified that this actually happened. This is not some kind of a movie or a podcast or a TV series that someone made up. This actually happened.
Because truth is always stranger than fiction.
And if you think we've got sickos around now, there were some sickos back then as well.
Dude.
Really sick people. You have to listen to this podcast.
There's a lot of graphic violence in the show this morning.
I know. So don't let the children listen. All right. A few things you need to know.
The children.
First thing you need to know this morning, there are gaps in the story about Gavin Watson's death, says brother.
Speaking of stories.
What? What a story. The brother of Gavin Watson says there are a lot of gaps in the story of how the former chief executive of Bosasa died. He died in a mysterious car accident late last month, just days before he was due to testify before a SARS tax commission. He was about to receive summons from the Zondo Commission after he was put into the spotlight by former Bosasa Chief Operations Officer Angelo Agrizi. Valence Watson, that's his name, told independent media Monday that one of the strange things about the death of his brother was that he was missing his cell phone. And it was tracked to an area very far away from the scene of the accident. At some point, it was located in Germiston, yet the accident happened near Kempton Park as Gavin was on his way to the airport. Dun, dun, dun.
Imagine if his own brother.
What season are we of the South Africa?
Yeah. If your own brother thinks you're a sketchy little.
Well, I don't think he thinks his brother was sketchy because he's trying to say that there were sketchy things.
He's saying somebody got rid of his brother.
Right. He's saying what raised their suspicions was the accident happened in a place with no cameras, which could have been used to piece together information that would have led to the accident. The accident occurred where there were no cameras, so there were a lot of questions, less answers. There are gaps in the story. Asked about a pathology report that reportedly tells the story of a man who was already dead before the accident even happened, Valence said that the report was more or less correct, although it was just a preliminary one. This is very, very unnerving, right? Unsettling.
Very unsettling. I mean,
forget about how the family feel just for a second, but we should all be worried that these suspicious things are happening. It's very, very scary. So that's the latest on Gavin Watson.
I reckon we should get like Twitter detectives onto this case. They'll solve it.
They always do for me.
Twitter detectives are probably the worst detectives in the world with the least amount of qualification.
But Twitter detectives always tell us. They always tell us about the shady dealings of that guy on Date My Family.
That's true. That's true.
Within minutes. I think the Twitter detectives could solve this one.
They could do something.
Crack it.
All right. In other news, the South African National Defence Force has deployed in the Cape crime hotspots, and it's been extended. So a lot of people are uncomfortable with this because it amounts to Nothing short of like
soldiers in the streets.
Martial law, right? Mm-hmm. President Cyril Ramaphosa has extended the deployment of the South African National Defence Force to crime-riddled areas of the Western Cape until March 2020.
Good.
Oh, this is quite an extension.
Do you think it's good?
I think it's good. I mean, the stuff that was going on in Cape Town and the killings, I mean, it was just, it was mind-blowing for me.
Kuku, it hasn't stopped. Really? It hasn't become less. It hasn't, what has happened?
Has what it has not happened? Stopped?
No.
Hell no.
Have the reports of the crime in the, what?
No, there were so many killings at some point, like 40 something people died on a weekend or something like that.
It hasn't got has better. Not got better.
Those gangsters are still doing what they were doing before the army was there.
So then what's the point?
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. All right. So
armies should not be in the streets in a peaceful country. Not be in the streets.
I agree. The president's office says SANDF members will continue to undertake operations in cooperation with the police. Members of the regular and reserve forces will undertake operations in cooperation there and will support the prevention and combating of crime and maintenance, said the presidency. Maintenance, obviously, of law and order in the Western Cape. The president has informed the Speaker of the National Assembly and the chairperson of the National Council of Provinces of the extended deployment of the armed forces. So if you're in Cape Town and you see those army vehicles driving around, you know your president has deployed the military. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't make me comfortable either.
No, I think it might be an unpopular opinion, but I disagree with both of you.
Mm-hmm. You think it's necessary?
I don't think it's necessary, but I, for now, if there hasn't been any violence because of the army, yes, is it intimidating?
Like Pumi was just saying, it's made no difference. So that argument's gone.
What else you got?
Let's just remember that the difference between the army and the police, according to the constitution of this country and pretty much the founding documents of any other country, is that the army is not there to be used against citizens.
Mm.
The army is there to protect you against external threats. And the army is there to be deployed internationally, not locally.
Mm-hmm.
Any country that releases its army upon its own people, even if they're bad people,
mm-hmm.
and I don't doubt for a second that the Western Cape has its share of bad people, the minute they do that, they're admitting that their police, who are meant to take care of internal law and order, are a failure. That's what we're doing. What the president is doing by sending the army into places like the Cape Flats is he's admitting that his police force has failed, that they are a failure.
So what are the other alternatives? Just get more police backup.
No, be better at policing.
Correct. Fix the police.
Well, I mean, I think that's a more longer-term solution.
If you just sorted out, if you just rooted out all the bad cops, that would be a start.
As I'm putting myself as a citizen who's living in one of those neighborhoods, same. I think that would be a little more comforting to same. Me. I get it.
The army?
Yeah.
You'd like the army in your street.
I prefer the army than
you would.
Gangsters mm. running
and,
around
and what makes you
guns.
Think the army are any better than the police, first of all?
Hey, you got to grab evidence, hope wherever hope is there.
No, but that's just grasping at whatever.
I think the army is more disciplled in terms of doing the right thing.
Do you think
what,
so?
What do you think? Maybe the question to ask you, Sia, is what do you think the army does? They don't arrest people. What do you think the army does? What do soldiers do?
Answer yeah. that, Sia.
Is their intention then
soldiers shoot to people to kill them. So when you have the army in the street, first of all, you like, how do you decide who is a lawful citizen and who is not? At which point, so what are they going to do? Impose a lockdown at 6 p.m. I come from that neighborhood. I come from a time when the army was in the streets in this country and where we had like, you can't be outside beyond a certain time. And if you are, you get arrested. Like,
you think
be
this
better
is, this
at policing.
Opening,
be okay. better such, at policing.
Yeah, Pumi makes such a good point. The army can't arrest people. That's not what they do.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a scary realization.
For those
people who still think it's a good idea.
I think the frustration comes from the fact that there's no immediate solution. Yeah, to be better at policing is a
here's the real problem.
6 month year.
Like what's going on in the Cape Flats? Is there's gangsterism?
Mm-hmm.
There are very few good male role models. There are very few families that have fathers. So that's the societal problem, the underlying problem. Second of all, there are women in those communities who protect the gangsters because they are their sons and their brothers. Mm. Right? So you don't have any honesty in the community when it comes to...
Because also they are the breadwinners.
Yeah, they bring home
through
the
gun.
Through the gun, through the drugs, through the... Yeah.
You know, that's how they make money.
Mm. So that's not going to change for any foreseeable time. So the people who are living in these communities, and you see them on the TV news going, oh my God, it's terrible, our children have to live in this gang-infested place. But they're not... They know who the gangsters are. Everyone in those communities knows the names of all the gangsters, and they know who to be careful of. Do they turn them in? Hell no. Plus, the police are rotten. So the police are in cahoots with some of the gangsters, right? That's the third problem. The fourth problem is our politicians are weak-willed, and they don't want to take out... Remember, the Western Cape is one of the problems. One of the problems in the Western Cape is that the politicians are fighting for it all the time. So you've got all these parties. And, as someone's just alerted me, there are no jobs.
Mm.
So what are young men doing? They're roaming the streets causing trouble because they can't get work.
Mm.
This is not a headache. It's not a short-term solution. I mean, the fabric of society is torn.
Soldiers with guns to shoot these people dead.
But we haven't heard of any of that, have we?
Well, that's why you bring in the army, even if it's just as a deterrent. Mm.
No, but I mean, you guys have mentioned all these things, and then what's the solution if not soldiers, if the police are in cahoots with these bad boys?
Well, that's why I'm saying there's no immediate solution just yet.
There is no. That's why I'm saying this is not a headache. You're not going to take a pill and get rid of it. It's a long, hard slog. There is work to be done by the community, by the police. Muzi thinks we should fire Peggy Cele.
That's probably also not a bad idea.
Oh, but he'll stomach in, chest out, walk around.
No, but
around
seriously,
there.
This is not. So this is not going to be a thing you're going to solve with 6 months of army presence.
But in the interim, while you're trying to implement whatever genius plan, what must happen?
Ant says, Pumi, you are talking nonsense. I am in Cape Town trauma, and I'm a surgeon, and the army has had a positive effect. Less cases of violence that he's dealing with. So maybe they are having an effect.
I'm just reading comments on people who are commenting on posts around the army being deployed in the Cape Flats. And some people are saying the likes of they are becoming tourists on the Cape Flats, they being the army. They are standing around shopping malls and on the roads when they could be in gang-infested areas breaking down doors and getting rid of guns.
Peggy Cele was giving statistics. He had a whole press conference last week giving the statistics.
Who's this Byron de Villiers? Yeah. They clearly just want action happening here.
Hmm. Here's an interesting point from Nats. She says, Nats in Cape Town. She says, anyone who has a voodoo doll of me, please take some of the stuffing out. This bikini body is just not happening.
So Nats, they can do whatever they want to you, but just as long as you're skinny.
All right.
You have your priorities in check.
Okay, let's just quickly talk about the State Security Agency on Monday said that while it respected the ruling by the High Court in Pretoria on the communications and provision of communication-based related information, God, what an act. That's RICA, by the way, if you were wondering. That's what the RICA Act is. It was regrouping with its legal team to figure out a way forward. RICA was used to place journalist Sam Sole under surveillance while he was investigating what the state had called a corruption charge against former President Jacob Zuma. The SSA's Mahlodi Moofe said that the judgment did not close the door completely on government's work on the act. Basically, this is a terrible piece of legislation. It is not applicable or executable, and what they've got now is a situation where this act needs to be struck down. But they're not going to admit that they need it struck down. Not the SSA, who, by the way, I don't know that they're so effective either. We've spent billions on our state security agency. What have they done for you? Anyone? Anyone? No.
Okay.
Zero. A body washed up on Durban beachfront. Oh. 48-year-old man was found at Diary Beach. An inquest was opened at Durban Central.
Which beach?
Diary Beach. Okay. Which one is that?
That's North Beach. That's the main beach.
Is it?
Hmm?
Well, according to a source not authorized to speak to the media, the incident is believed to be a drowning.
Oh.
It happened early this morning on Diary Beach, according to the emergency group EMS 24. The body of an Indian male was washed up close to California Dreaming. The victim was wearing jeans and deckies.
He probably just walked in.
Yeah.
Oh, got well, sucked in.
You know, some people, this is a way that they end themselves.
Oh, he
sometimes
was just
it's
drunk.
More suspicious.
What?
Yeah, he could be drunk and could drown.
Mm-hmm.
That could happen. And then...
what would you do?
What, if you found a body?
If you were drunk? Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. It's like they said next to California Dreaming. That's like this
that's
great
the main beach,
restaurant.
Yeah.
And you can go and have cocktails. You're minding your own business with a drink in your hand, looking out at the ocean, and you see a body. Oh, check, please. Gotta go. Because what do you do?
Well,
do you
calm down, because they said it happened in the early hours of the morning.
Ah.
But they would have found it when they were opening up in the morning. So this this has happened before.
Maybe he was coming from California Dreaming.
I have a relative who was walking around in Umtloti, and a body washed up on the beach there, and he called the police.
Mm.
So this
what happened. A sensible guy.
Yeah, it right. happens.
You see what happened. This is what
run,
you do,
yeah?
Sia.
He did
see,
not
maybe
run.
I've watched too many movies that
apparently
screw me up.
It's Dairy Beach, not Diary
it's
Beach.
Dairy, yeah.
They definitely spelt it diary in the article here. So if you have a problem there, you must please take it up with the news outlet in question, which is iol.co.za, all right?
Hmm. Reliable much.
So Dairy Beach, thank you very much. Yeah. Not my fault. I don't know the Durban beaches. What the hell do I know? Good morning, team. Pumi is 100%. There is no headache pill for this. I live down a street where gangsterism is rife and we go to sleep with gunshots all night. The problem is the kids see this every day and the cycle continues. We need to do something to break the cycle.
Mm.
Well, what do you do? You know?
What do you do? Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah.
All right. One more story. This is another scary story, I'm afraid.
Oh, look at that.
What?
Delft. Crime statistics, Delft in the Western Cape has gone up 14%.
So this is with the army?
There. With the army from the 12th of September. This is the report from the 12th of September. With the army there, the crime has gone up.
There we go. Port Elizabeth, members of an ambulance crew were attacked and robbed in PE on Monday. The Eastern Cape Department of Health said in a statement. Department spokesperson Sizwe Kupelo said that the incident occurred around 3 a.m. in the Joslovo informal settlement while the ambulance crew had been transporting an asthmatic patient to hospital. You know,
how insensitive.
When we start robbing ambulances, then whatever happens after that, we really probably deserve.
It's a thing now, as far as I know, where they call an ambulance. Ambulance comes as if it's an emergency and they just hijack.
Really?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Hijack the ambulance.
Yeah.
Oh, so there's a market for ambulances now?
There's a market for ambulances now. They pretend like there's an emergency, ambulance comes through,
that
and they take.
Unbelievable. So, unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, someone else is complaining. Pumi is wrong. This is Casey. We're on the Cape Flats. We're not protected against these people. At the end of the day, if you do snitch, then you have to go and testify in court. What do you think will happen to you and your family when you go and testify? P.S. The army is useless.
Mm.
So they kind of agree with you, but they kind of don't. So Casey, I don't know what to respond to there. I'm just going to read it out like I did, and Pumi can laugh.
I'll just
like
work, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm getting involved in that. All right, those are the stories you need to know this morning. I'm afraid none of it is really that optimistic and positive, but we will try to add a little light to your day a little later on.
See, I need
what
said
do you need?
By Sia.
We need to bring that back.
I need Set by Sia. I need good news. I need like Pharrell singing happy in the background.
After I was declared the unofficial, no, the official correspondent of bad news.
I need Pharrell singing happy in the background. Sia giving me good news about paper straws.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Who I had a paper this? Straw in a smoothie over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a clear smoothie, but not so clear by the end of the time I had
come on.
Turned into a straw soup because...
That's it.
Yeah, because...
I had a pasta straw.
And how does that do for you?
No.
No?
It was all right. It broke halfway, but it was all right.
You see,
how does a pasta straw work? Do you chow it at the end?
Like a straw.
It's uncooked pasta.
No one's fighting here for me. Just
how does it work? Like a straw.
Do you eat it at the end? That's what I'm asking.
You can.
Is it edible?
It's raw.
But have you ever eaten raw pasta? It's not very nice.
Yeah, but I mean, what's the point then of a?
The point is, it's a straw. What?
So like, yeah, well, I might as well get a plastic one then.
No, that's the entire. That's the whole point. No. That it's not. Oh, they aren't using plastic
or glass.
All right, everybody stop. Everybody stop. Google.
Yes, Gary.
Why are plastic straws an issue? Why are people talking about them at all? Because we've always only had plastic straws. What changed? You tell me.
What? Because turtles.
Because environmental activists. All of that stuff, right?
Because plastic in the fish.
So,
because fish.
So people are now being encouraged not to use plastic straws.
Right.
So one of the alternatives is a pasta straw. So you say, what's the point? It's not to eat the pasta straw.
That was the question.
You maniac. It's to use the straw made of pasta because it's biodegradable.
Okay, then that's what one of you should have said, because I said, do you eat it at the end?
That's what I am saying.
And people
saying
are like, yeah, it's a straw. I know it's a straw. Anyway,
Google,
we have so
really
much work with you.
We will guide him.
We will civilize you.
Yeah, we will get you
eventually. Through.
I'm okay, thank you guys. Survive this long.
You know, sure, for doing well on the planet, I'll go with anything. But I mean, all of these things just are not Instagrammable.
All right, paramedics apparently now have to conceal weapons.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, that's how bad it's got. And lots of other people can tell me it's not Diary Beach, it's Dairy Beach. I promise you the IOL article, I looked at it again now, said diary. They don't know how to spell.
I thought you read dairy wrong, Gareth.
I definitely read diary because diary, what was written.
Tell us about the Australian magpie. Don't turn it off.
Oh my God. All right. This is unbelievable. A cyclist died in Australia on Sunday after being startled by a swooping magpie. Do you know what a magpie is?
Mm-mm.
It's like a crow.
Stupid
Apparently,
bird.
These birds are native Australian birds. They get aggressive in the spring around breeding season, which is now. A 76-year-old man was riding his bike in Wollongong, south of Sydney.
Wollongong. All right.
When he veered off the path to avoid a swooping magpie, according to Wollongong police, he then crashed. He then crashed into a fence post and was thrown to the ground and suffered serious head injuries. Ooh. The man was airlifted to Sydney St. George Hospital and died that evening, police said. So he was killed by a swooping bird.
What they a have disturbing to, way to die.
What an embarrassing way to die.
Well, he's dead now.
It doesn't make this less humiliating for his family and friends.
What happened? To tell people this is what happened.
What happened to your dad? Well, he was riding his bike and he got attacked by a magpie. A magpie? But that's a bird you could probably hold in your hand. He's dead now. I'm very, very upset with magpies in general. I go out and shoot them now. Take it very seriously.
Yeah, cause of death on the death certificate?
Magpie.
Alrighty.
Oh, no.
Magpie attack.
Pretty terrible, right?
So this is why I don't like birds.
They're just over a foot in length. They can cause quite a bit of damage with sharp beaks and sudden attacks. Last year, a toddler in Perth narrowly avoided being blinded by a magpie after it swooped down and attacked his face as he sat in a pram. These birds are taking back the territory from humans.
Australia is not a place for humans.
Telling you, those animals, they all want you dead.
Well, yeah, animals do secretly hate us, well, and they're making it more obvious.
Especially now. Australian ones, they have the most poisonous reptiles, the most poisonous spiders. They've got some very scary things there. Everybody thinks it's just because they don't have big predators that they're not scary. The little things in Australia are much more dangerous than the big things.
You know the end is nigh when animals are trying to kill us.
They
when
are.
When a magpie
well,
is trying,
trying
to kill us.
Kill them all the time.
Yeah, they're only getting their own back. That's what they're doing.
Getting smarter.
All right, those are the things you need to know today. See how you're very excited about Harry and Meghan coming?
So, my plans are crumbling. So I'm not too excited just yet.
What do you mean?
I'm trying to make inroads here and then.
Yeah, so why are your plans failing?
See, I gave you a template.
Yeah.
Where to be. To be there.
Yeah, well, I can't exactly work with the women's organizations.
Why
and
not? You can come with your press card. You can be like, I'm just covering this whole event for Clip
press
Central.
Press card. Mm-mm. We need to have a deeper bond. So in my mind, this is how I envisioned meeting Megan.
Let's just imagine with Sia for a minute. This is how it's going to go.
Somehow I'm involved in an outreach project that they're supporting.
All right.
I'm there minding my own business.
Uh-huh.
On bended knee. Planting a carrot.
Had to be a carrot.
Some sort of vegetable.
Okay.
Megan comes in and says, oh my God. Because it's still a pseudo-American...
Of course.
Trying to be British accent.
Oh my God. Go on.
Oh my God. What great veggies you have. And I go, oh, thanks. You know, anything I can do to help. Then she bends down, looks at me in the eye and says, tell me more about yourself. And I go,
well,
Meghan Markle, the sparkle. It all started on the 3rd of Feb, 1995. And then we have an afternoon together. And then we end up flying out in one of those private jets. Everyone dissed her for flying out in...
And what do you do? Do you go for cocktails?
No, we become best friends. And then I'll fly...
She wants your number and says, come to Buckingham Palace whenever you want.
Yes. Then I'll fly with her to watch Serena play tennis. Who are her other best friends? Yeah, then we'll go and chill with Priyanka Chopra.
Okay.
Yes.
And it all started with a carrot.
But you see, it's our values aligning.
This is the most ridiculous imagination.
It's our values aligning. I can't get our values to align just like standing in a line of press going, hi, no, doesn't work.
But if your souls, Sia, if your souls are destined for just that moment of connection, it's in that moment of connection that all sparks.
Yeah, I mean,
sorry, I'm all for optimism, but that's not working for
care,
me.
She doesn't care nearly as much about
carrots,
veggies, and women's issues as she does about entertainment. That's the industry she went into before she was famous.
No, let me tell you,
you're in the entertainment industry. You can have a serious conversation about that.
I'm going to own it. This is how deep my investigation has been over the past couple of weeks. I know that before she married, she was very passionate about getting water into rural communities. And I got wind that there was an organization that she was supporting here in South Africa. And I did contact someone who I know who's volunteered with them before. I was like, hey, have you heard anything?
This is not creepy at all. This is like when Beyonce came to South Africa and Sia was just hanging around the hotel that she was staying. She was just hanging around the bar.
Oprah, then, we've seen this with Oprah.
And wait,
he's done the same thing.
Yeah,
we have seen
really?
This.
I tried to get dinner reservation at the Saxon Hotel, and then this last album that she released, Jay-Z rapped on a song, and she ended
about
up
the Saxon.
Dropping the Saxon. Imagine if I wasn't crazy. If I was there minding my own business and having dinner, I would have seen something.
You could make. Should have just been like an undercover agent or something, Sia.
I don't.
You know, I think you'd probably be successful there more than here.
Isn't it a bit creepy, though?
Yeah. You need Alan Ford in your life.
We're sitting with him here. I'm, you know, back at the ranch.
Yeah, you and Alan Ford.
You need Alan Ford in your life. Alan Ford could make this happen for you.
He could.
Talk to Alan.
Alan would sneak into anything and always got to the front and would just pretend he was invited.
And then
would walk straight up to whoever he wanted to say hello to and just, hi.
And then take a selfie.
I'm Alan Ford.
Gareth, I remember you were away when this happened, but Alan was behind me meeting Usain Bolt.
I'm telling you.
It was just a general press conference.
What happened?
At this hotel. We were all sitting in this auditorium and Usain Bolt was in the country and made this massive announcement. I think it was with a horse racing event.
By the way, I don't think Alan Ford ever watched Usain Bolt run a race.
No, not at all.
Not a chance.
We then were able to piece together the general configuration of this hotel because Usain, after the press conference, was then whisked into the side room. We were able to piece together, if we stepped out into the main corridor, there's another side door that we saw walking in. Maybe that's the door to the side room. And honestly, Alan just grabbed a random TV camera from this other group of press. Said, yeah, we'll be back just now. We'll be back just now. We go to the side door. He just pushes it open. and he says, "Hi, we work for top billing." I'm like, "Alan, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie."
He lies.
That's just Alan. What do you mean? That is Alan.
Alan hasn't worked for top billing in years. Because, yo, we work for top billing. We're here to cover it. Usain's team just flocked to us. Like, you guys are not meant to be here. Usain was the one who was like, "No, it's chilled. But guys, really, like, I'm just here. I'm really, really tired right now. Can we just sit for a while?" And we're like, "Okay." Alan ends up staying in the room. I was too nervous for that.
So you don't even have fortitude to make these things happen.
I failed.
So in the moment, Sia, you buckled under the pressure.
I don't want to be the guy who was like punched in the throat by Usain Bolt's team when they realized we aren't official, like, top billing crew here.
But who are you really, Sia, if you're not willing to be punched in the throat for getting that selfie?
Someone
who
who'd like to stay alive.
Let's go to a message here. This one's from Claire. Claire wants to join in the fun this morning. Go ahead, Claire.
Good morning, team. It's Claire. I am sitting in my car. I am just about hysterical. Listen, just see a story about how he's going to meet Meghan Markle. I am like the ultimate royal fan, but even I would just settle for a handshake in a crowd. But that is just taking it to the next level. So I'm no longer a super fan. I have to give my crown away. Sia, you get my crown. Oh. I sure hope that she loves your carrots. That was hilarious. Thank you for a really good morning chuckle. I do really want to find out where they're going to be in Cape Town, because I did still plan to stalk them and I can't seem to find any details. It's all very hush hush.
It's on Sia's. I tagged him yesterday. The itinerary. I tagged you, Sia, so pin the tweet.
All right. When we come back, we'll get into some news, some of the things that are happening in the world. Take your calls, your thoughts, your ideas, and your contributions. 079-748-2090. CliffCentral.com. Good morning.
This is CliffCentral.com.